expressed through the person of Jesus Christ. Because it was God's will that every man, woman, boy, and girl would be redeemed, saved from the sins of this world through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And what God had on his mind was that you would be healthy and whole. Amen. And I like to take it just a step farther. Deacon Drain talked about you being happy. God wants you to be filled with joy. He wants you to be filled with joy. And a byproduct of your joy really does become your happiness. Because when joy becomes the root of what's driving you, it doesn't matter many times of what's going on the outside. Because there's a joy on the inside, you can still find a way to smile and be happy. Amen. Amen. That is God's desire, is that you will be blessed. Listen, we have been studying in the book of Hebrews during our Sunday morning Bible study time. And one of the places where we have been really blessed to receive, I think, a word from God has to do with Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, where it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. In that anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, that he is real, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently, who earnestly seek him. Amen. We had been studying that scripture, and then one of the brothers in our ministry received a word from the Lord that echoed what God had been revealing. And I just want to continue to reiterate this until it is deep down in our spirits and we are beginning to act upon it, truly believing that we can take God at his word. He said, after pondering that scripture, in meditating upon that scripture, the Lord spoke to him and said, this truly is your season. Your season to ask, and you shall, to seek, and you will, to knock. I think I need to say it all. I'm sorry. Some folks are like, what you say? Ask what? Ask. And you shall receive, seek, and you shall knock, and the door will be open for you. Said, hunger, and you will be fed manna from heaven. Thirst, and you will drink living water from the fountain of life. And so, for us, what that meant was, whatever it is right now, God is saying, you have not because you do not ask. And sometimes when you're asking with the wrong motive. And you're asking without faith, because James also says that when you come to God and ask of him, you must believe that he will give, that he will respond. He says there is no room for doubt. Because the person who doubts, he says, you won't receive anything from the Lord. But God has said, this is your season. Ask and you shall receive. That is why worship becomes so important for us, because what it does is it helps us to move our hearts and minds from this place, from an earthly place, from a low place, and it helps us to move them to a higher place, to God who sits high and who looks low. And when we start moving our minds from here to thinking about God who is, he helps us to know that there is no thing that is too big for him. Amen. And so worship gets us in the place of where we then have our minds linked up with God. And so when we ask for the right things. But not only that, we also ask in faith, believing that God is able to deliver. And so we've been talking about faith, living in faith, operating in faith. And today I just want to continue talking about fighting the good fight of faith. Amen. Because I've told you what God desires for you. Now, here's the other side. The enemy of your soul desires to block what God wants for you. And so even though God has spoken, you must still fight the good fight of faith to receive what God has for you. Brothers and sisters, you cannot stop walking in faith until you have received what it is that you were hoping for. And what I like about God is when you receive what you were hoping for, he has something else waiting for you to go after. Amen. But you cannot stop walking the good fight or fighting the good fight of faith until you've received it. My encouragement to us is don't throw in the towel. Amen. Don't throw in the towel. If you have your Bibles with you today, can you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6? If you're one of those who likes to go to it, you don't have a book to turn pages, just go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we're going to slip down to verse number 11. As we talk about fighting the good fight of faith. When you have found that, if you don't mind standing, we like to stand as we read God's word, just to acknowledge the holiness of his word. So if you would stand with us as we read this. Verse number 11 begins, "But you, man of God," if I could just add, woman of God, all right? I don't want you to feel left out. "But you, man of God, woman of God, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. The sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession. I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and might forever. Amen." Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Fighting the good fight of faith. So this particular letter is written by the Apostle Paul, who was the father in the faith to a young man by the name of Timothy. Timothy was a young man who had he was from a mixed background. He had a Jewish mother and he had a Greek father. And his mother, as well as his grandmother, were careful to instill into Timothy the truths of who God was. So I just want to encourage young parents, old parents, parents, period. You talk about walking and fighting the fight of faith. Be careful and be sure that you instill into the generation behind you who God is. Amen. You let them know who God is, the true God. See, Paul sums it up at the end of this. As we were reading, he said, "The blessed and only ruler, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light. You tell them about a God who is not made by hands of men. You tell them about a God who is not controlled by others, but he is the creator and he created us. You tell them about a God who sent his son, Jesus Christ, who is the image of the living God, so that you and I could know him. You tell them about that, and whatever you do, don't leave that in the hands of your children to make their own decisions. You know, we are in a generation. We are in a time where folks feel like it's okay. Let's just let them make up their own minds. And so they shrink back from revealing truth to those who need to hear it. And what the devil, the enemy of your soul, wants to do is to keep you from knowing the truth. God has desired that men and women would know that he is the God who created us. He is the God who loved us, and he is the God who is personally concerned about us. And he went through great lengths so that he could have a personal relationship with you and me. And when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, Jesus came with the express purpose of paying the debt that had separated men from God. He paid for our sins with his life so that we could be reconciled back to the Father. And listen, brothers and sisters, when you get hooked up to God, what you want to do is you want to see other folks hooked up to God. And you want no one to miss out on that opportunity. And therefore, when the chance comes, you open your mouth and you tell somebody about the same Jesus that rescued you from a dark place. And you live out your life of faith in front of them so that they know that what you've declared with your mouth, you believe it with your heart. Amen? Amen. Timothy, his grandmother and his mother trained him and taught him about God and about the person of Jesus Christ. And so when the Apostle Paul was going through the particular area where Timothy lived, Timothy had a good reputation among the people. And they said to Paul, you need to think about that young man named Timothy. He has a good reputation. And I think that, you know what, if you take him with you, he will be a great help to you, supporting you in the very works that God has called you to do. And sure enough, Paul listened to the reports on Timothy, and he ended up taking Timothy with him on missionary journeys. And Timothy then surrendered his life to full-time ministry work with the Apostle Paul. When Paul writes this particular letter to Timothy, Paul has left Timothy to be a pastor over a church. And Paul is writing now to encourage Timothy to be faithful in the call on his life. Now, before you dismiss everything that Paul says to Timothy, I want you to know that the charge that is entered to Timothy is not just for preachers. It's not just for those who are in ministry full time. It's for every man, woman, boy or girl who has surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ and who has said that I believe that God died for me, and who understands that you have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. This charge, these words of instructions given by Paul to Timothy are equally important for you and me in whatever arena, whatever area God has called you to live in. And therefore, I want you to hear carefully how Paul instructs Timothy, and I want you to think, what does that mean for me where I'm living today? Doing what I am doing today, how can I too fight the good fight of faith? Amen? I want you to think about that. That will be, and by the way, I received instructions earlier, and I'm going to try to abide by them. I was told that there was going to be a fight, a battle going on this evening. in that I need to make sure that I let folk get out in time so that they can go and and participate in that battle. Amen. I got an amen back there. On this evening, you know it. There's going to be two teams on the gridiron trying to claim the spot for the National League Football Champion. World Championship? You want me to say the Super Bowl, right? Yeah, they're going to be, they've fought their way through their particular divisions. So you have NFC, AFC, they fought their way through regular season, made it to the playoffs, fought their way through the playoffs, won victory, and now they are at what we call the big game in football, and now they're ready to face off with one another, and they're going to go four quarters of trying to see who is going to be victorious to claim just that title for one full year. And there will be many of us who are tuned in and engaged at least through halftime. And at least through halftime, because we at least want to see the halftime show. And then there will be those who are true football fans who will stick around to see it until the end just to see who is the victor. Now, the one who is victorious is going to be the one who fights the hardest, who fights the strongest, and who executes their game plan most effectively. That's the one who's going to come out victorious. And brothers and sisters, I want you to know that God has already predestined that you and I would be victorious. The only thing that would get in the way of you and I not being victorious is if we don't execute God's game plan. If we choose to do things our way and not his way, then we won't receive the victory that he has in mind for you and me. And so while we're pressing against the enemy of our souls, we've already promised that we win. Your job is not to throw in the towel. So you don't quit. You don't quit at halftime. You don't quit at the end of the third quarter. You don't quit until the final whistle blows. And if you keep fighting, here is the guarantee: you win. And your job and my job is to keep fighting the good fight of faith so that we receive what God has promised to give you and to give to me. Amen. Let's look at the text so that I can abide by the instructions that were given me earlier and not stay too long. Amen. Let's look back at verse number 11. He says, "But you, man of God, flee from all of this." So then, here's the first thing. He starts that sentence with a but, which means that it's a conjuncting word, and you've got to go back and look at what he is referring to. What he is helping Timothy to understand is that, Timothy, because you are in Jesus Christ, there is a different requirement on you than on those who are not in Jesus Christ. He's saying that I don't care what other folks are doing, Timothy. Your job is to do God what I've called you to do and live the life that I've called you into. So take your eyes off of other folks and what they are doing and what they're busy getting away with, and fix your eyes and your mind back on what I've called you to do. Don't let your pursuit be like other folks' pursuit. That when you're in Christ Jesus, you have a new orientation. You have a new direction. You have a new goal. In fact, the scripture says it this way: any man, any person, any woman who is in Christ Jesus is a new creation, and the old has passed away. So when you're in Christ, you are new. And the admonition then is, act like you knew. Don't keep doing the old stuff that you did or what you see other unregenerated folks do. Live like you knew. That's the importance of what happens. It says that when you're in Christ Jesus, you are born again. You have a new birth. And so live like you have a new birth. So he begins the sentence with, but You, and look at the words that follow, man of God, woman of God. You are a person of God. So act like you are a person of God. Amen. He says you are to flee from all these things. And so now, in order to see what the fleeing, what is he fleeing from, you got to go back up a few verses, okay? So let's go all the way back to verse number 3. All the way back. First of all, he says, if anyone teaches false doctrine, you can't be doing that, and does not agree to sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. So he's saying, really what he's saying to Timothy is that you've got to remain humble before the Lord, Timothy. That you've got to be sound in your teaching. Go by the word of God. Don't go by these local, these recent ideas that people like to come up with. Stay with the word of God. He said he has an unhealthy interest in controversies. He quarrels about words that result in envy and strife and malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of corrupt mind. He's a troublemaker, always starting something. That's not who you are. You're not a person who's always starting something, because you are a woman of God, a man of God. You are a person, you are a peacemaker, not a troublemaker. Amen? That you guard your words carefully so that you speak with grace and truth, so that you encourage and not tear down. Amen? That you use your tongue wisely to promote truth, to promote peace and unity, and that you don't stir up stuff. Amen? So this is what he's telling him. You're not like these folks. He says, these folks have been robbed of the truth, and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. So he's talking about people who now take their position in God, and all they're trying to do is make a little money. He's reminding Timothy that that's not who you are. That you don't do what you do because of what you're getting paid or to take advantage of others. You do what you do because you are a man of God who has been called to serve in this manner. Amen. And then he gets to it. He says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. So he's saying, be godly and be content. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. I was just letting that soak in for a minute. That's all I was doing, was like, you know, you, everything that you amass, when it's time for you to go, it will stay. It was sad. This has been a week, you know, where on last week, NBA great legend Kobe Bryant, life lost in a helicopter crash. Took his life and the life of his 13-year-old daughter. And so all week people have been grieving, because the realization is that tomorrow is not promised. That it does not matter who you are. That each one of us has a time. We don't know what that time is, and we don't know always the means by which that number will come up. And so everyone has been remembering, being reminded that, oh, wow, tomorrow is not promised. But in one of the particular newscasts, they were talking about it. It was really foolishness. The woman started talking about how much Kobe Bryant was worth, and how he had used not only his gift as a ball player, but he had also, you know, been an entrepreneur, and over time, how much he was worth. And then she made the statement, who gets his money would be determined by, you know, what was in his will or his trust. And it was just a blatant reminder of It doesn't matter if you're worth $800 billion. That when your time has come to an end, you can't take that to the next life with you. And that you need to learn how to get your mind fixed on the right things. That you invest and you put your value in the right places, because there is an eternal life that will be lived, and you can actually send up in advance, you can send up payment for your mansion. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Old folks used to sing it this way, I'm sending up my timber. Yeah, that's what they would say, I'm sending up my timber. It's like my works precede me. Not that I'm working to get to heaven, but because I've been faithful in administering all that God has done, he will remember my works and they will benefit me when I arrive in heaven. Amen. Paul says to Timothy, listen, we brought nothing into the world. We can't take nothing out of it. Don't get caught up in the things of this world. He says, if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. And that's enough. And then he starts to offer these stern instructions. People who want to get rich fall into temptations and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. Paul is just saying that if your pursuit is money, be careful. It will set you up. If you're trying to get rich, you'll fall for any scheme and you're subject to do anything, because the pursuit of money can set you up. That's all he's saying, is make sure that you have the right mindset. Look at the next verse. He says, for the love of money. I always have to make sure that we talk about. He didn't say money is the root of all evil. He said the love of money is the root of all evil, the root of all kinds of evil. And he says, some people eager for money, here it is, here's the thing that he was talking about, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So Paul warns that the love of money and the pursuit of these things of this world has caused some people to wander from the faith. Okay, I think you can attest to this. Haven't you seen people who will put aside worship of God in pursuit of money? They started off with God, but then in their pursuit of material wealth or money, God takes second place in their lives. Yeah. You'll hear things like, I've got an opportunity to work overtime, get some overtime. And so now my normal practice of worshiping on Sundays got to take second place. And it becomes a habitual practice in their lives. There's nothing wrong with working overtime. There's nothing wrong that when your employer requires you to work, to go and do that work. But when all of a sudden all you start seeing is cha-ching, and you start to pursue and chase that, and you forget that it is God who provides for you, and you start thinking that that's the thing that gets you, suddenly you've gotten everything out of whack. And you and I are reminded, according to Matthew 6 and 33, that we should seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and then all the other things that we need are going to be added to us. When we do that, that keeps us safe from pursuing this thing called money. It keeps us safe from the love of money when we start to understand who is the source of all things. Amen? And can I just, I may as well go ahead and add it. I said this, you know, those of us who love social media will have you chasing and running after things, trying to keep up with other folks that ain't got nothing to do with you. Social media, as they advertise what they are doing or pretending to do in their lives, will have you then chasing after stuff that you had not thought about, that was not of any interest to you. And then you're trying to do what they're doing because it looks good and it sounds good. But you, man or woman of God, remember that God has called you with purpose. He has a specific design for your life, and your charge is to stay faithful to what God has called you to do and to stay in your lane and run the race that God has put in front of you. And if you will do that, you then will not forsake the faith he has called you into, but then you will be able to walk into it with the fullness of life. So Paul warns Timothy that the love of money has caused some people to turn away from the faith, and that's not what we want to do. We want to stay fixed on the faith. He says, so then what you do, he said, you flee from all these things. And then he tells him, this is what you need to do. Pursue righteousness. These are good to write down. Circle them in your Bible. Highlight them. Underline them. Because they keep you focused on the right things. Pursue righteousness. By the way, righteousness only comes through the person of Jesus Christ. So then another way he says, you continue to pursue Jesus because the righteous will live by faith, and my righteousness comes by Jesus. So he says, pursue righteousness and godliness. You want to have a heart and a mind that is fixed upon God, and you want the character of your life, you want the behavior of your life to be described as being a godly person. Faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. These are the things that Paul is instructing Timothy to pursue and to chase after. That if you need a good set of goals by which you are to chase after, this becomes a good set of goals for you. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. And then he says, this is it. Fight the good fight of the faith. And take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Paul, in essence, is telling Timothy, God knew you when you were first born. God saw you. God had a purpose for your life. And right now, Timothy, you are walking out God's purpose for your life. You need to endure in God's purpose for your life until it is over. That you need to stay fixed on what God called you to do, and don't be distracted, because God has called you to receive his choicest blessings and to be a blessing to others. By show of hands, how many of you want to be a blessing to somebody else? All right. Amen. The key to being a blessing to somebody else is first surrendering yourself to God. That's the key. Surrender yourself first to God, and then God can take and use you to be a blessing in somebody else's life. If you're not surrendered, there's a risk that you become a hindrance in someone else's life. If you're not surrendered, there's the risk that you will become a user of someone else. If you're not surrendered, there's a risk that you won't fully understand the value of others, and then you'll end up taking advantage of them. But when you become fully surrendered to God, with the mindset that, God, I want to be a blessing to others. I want, God, as you pour your blessings into me, I want to be able to bless others with the overflow. That means that you maintain a right attitude before God, and you resist the devil as he presses in against you, trying to rob you of what God desires. I just got to tell you, God wants you to be a blessing to somebody else. God, when God blesses you, it is his desire that you be a blessing to somebody else. And I'm not just talking about money. Don't you know that there is more to blessing than money? There's more to you being a blessing in somebody's life, to you being able to give them money or pay a bill or buy some groceries. Listen, you can speak into someone's life in such a way that you will change the trajectory of their lives. God wants you to be a blessing, but in order for you to do that, you've got to be fully surrendered to him, chasing hard after him and saying to him, I belong, my life belongs to you. Brothers and sisters, if you really want to be a blessing to others, I just want to encourage you to fully surrender yourself unto the Lord. Let me give you this verse. I want you to write these down, because I said fighting the good fight of faith, that you need to understand that we don't fight the fight of faith the way that we fight in this world. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5, the Apostle Paul gives us good instructions that remind us that the weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of this world. He says, on the contrary, our weapons have divine power to demolish strongholds. He says, and we demolish every argument and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. I say, if you want to be a blessing to somebody, you need to first what? Surrender yourself fully to God. And if you surrender yourself fully to God, what you're going to then be able to do is speak truth into somebody's life. Listen, you have been made a light. And according to what Jesus said, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under the table. You don't put a cover over it. That light then is used to lead others out of darkness. Your life is to be a light unto others, to lead them out of dark places. And brothers and sisters, I just want to encourage you that if you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, if you've been rescued from darkness and brought into his kingdom, into his marvelous light, he has done that so that you can be a blessing to somebody else. How do you be a blessing? You be a blessing by telling them about the same one that saved you and redeemed you and who keeps you and who provides for you and who makes it possible for you to enjoy life and who fills you with joy and who gives you peace and who holds you up when you want to fall down and who wakes you up and who keeps you centered and who makes sure that you are filled with perfect peace. You be the person that tells the other person about a beggar that found bread. And that his name is Jesus. If you want to be a blessing to somebody else, give them what you've been given. Give them the hope that you've been given. You let the power of God be expressed in your life. And don't you be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't you be afraid to lift up his name to confront issues that come your way. That when folks who are sick and are in need of healing come across your path, don't you be afraid to say to them, I know a healer and his name is Jesus. Don't you be afraid to lay your hands on them and with boldness say unto them, listen, I'm going to call on the name of Jesus to deal with the sickness in your body. Yeah. Don't you worry about whether or not it's going to happen. That ain't your job. Your job is to fight the good fight of faith. Your job is to introduce them to the one who can bring healing. Your job is to pray like you shown up, believe that God is going to show up no matter what they believe. Your job is to be his hands, his feet, his representative in dark situations and show a dying world that a Jesus Christ lives today. That's your job. Your job is not to give in and be a part of the culture. Your job is to be a blessing, to push beyond your own doubt and your own fears, and to press into the kingdom of God and receive from him what he wants to do for others. Best illustration of this comes from both Peter and John one day when they were on their way to the temple. They were going to pray, by the way, which is one of those disciplines you need to have at work in your life. They were going to pray to the temple, and there was a man there who was crippled, and he was begging, and he said, alms for the poor. He had set up at the gate, and he was like, can I just receive something to help a brother out? When he saw Peter and John as they were entering into the gate, he said to them, can you help me? Alms for the poor. And Peter looked at him, and he said to him, silver and gold I do not have. Again, it's not about money. You ain't always got to have money. Amen. Silver and gold. But if you got money and you can feed somebody, go ahead and feed them. But it's not all about money. He says, silver and gold I do not have. But watch this. What I do have. Fight the good fight of faith with what you do have. What I do have, I give to you. In the name, he didn't say in the name of Peter. Amen. It was in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He wanted to make sure because there were a lot of Jesuses running around. Now, there had only been one who had been crucified and raised from the dead, but there were a lot of them that had the name Jesus. And he wanted to make sure that this man understood that this is the name that I'm calling on, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he said to the man, get up and walk. And the man who had been bound by the enemy, see, this is how you're going to be a blessing. Your job in being a blessing is to loose those who have been bound by the shackles of the enemy. Your job in being a blessing, it says when you speak truth to them, you are helping them to be set free of the lies that the enemy tells them. Yeah. Your job is to speak truth so that you can be a blessing and allow the power of God to be manifest in the individual's life. And God watches over his word and he performs his word and he stands by his word. And when you operate in faith upon God's word, God shows up and he does exactly what he said he would do. Peter said, get up, pick up your mat and walk. The Bible records that that man, based upon the proclamation that Peter made in the name of Jesus Christ, who had once been begging, now picked up his mat and he walked. All because of the faith of Peter and John. They gave him what he did not have. They gave him what he had, and it was their faith in Jesus. They fought the good fight of faith, used what God had given him, and this man then was blessed because of their faith in him. Man got up. He walked. And he didn't go. I like this about this story. He didn't go back out into the streets. He followed them into the temple because now was his opportunity to praise, to celebrate, to give thanks, and to tell others about what Jesus. Oh, I'm gonna stop, but I gotta help you because some of you, God has been doing some things in your life. Can I just go ahead and tell the truth? Some of us have had some sickness that God has overcome. Can I just help us there? There have been some issues that God has pressed in. The enemy has set up weapons to try to defeat us, but God has declared no weapon formed against you is going to be able to prosper. And when the enemy came and set up trying to stop you, God showed up like a mighty river, and he pressed up against the enemy, and he said, there's not going to be victory over this one because I'm here. And God has shown up in your situation. God showed up when you was broke and he fed you. God showed up when you didn't know how your bills were going to be paid, and he caused ends to come together. There's some folks who have been fighting with sickness. God showed up when you were on your sick bed, and God delivered you. And what God is trying to tell you, what he did for you, he wants you to go tell somebody. And whatever you do, don't get tired of telling what he has done for you. And if you would just open up your mouth and tell what he has done for you, you're going to be a blessing in somebody's life. You're going to be a blessing. Yeah, you thank God for the doctors that he put in your life. But can I just tell you, doctors don't heal, they just treat. Yeah, you celebrate God that he sent them your way. You celebrate God that he anointed their hands to treat you. You celebrate God that he kept you in the midst of it. But when you start talking about the fact that you have been healed, your healing came from God and from God alone. So then you start telling folks, I know about a man from Galilee. Yeah. I know about a man who can speak to sickness and sickness will be gone. When you start telling about Jesus, then you're going to be a blessing in somebody's life because he comes in to break the darkness, to break the shackles, and to destroy the work of Satan in people's lives. And brothers and sisters, if you fight the good fight of faith, you have been given the power to overcome the enemy. Amen. Why don't you just give God a big hand clap of praise? Hallelujah.